Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Owen Jones, and this is the Cheerful Election Daily. There are 2 days to go until the general election. A historic general election, which will determine the course of your life, your community, your country, for a generation maybe, or more. It's a game of high stakes, to say the least. Now, this is going to be quite a quick, short and sweet podcast today. There's a lot going on, clearly. What I'm going to do is firstly talk about what is a genuinely astonishing, outrageous incident, which is so revealing of Boris Johnson as an individual. A four-year-old with suspected pneumonia has been forced to lie on a pile of coats in a Leeds hospital. That was splashed on the front page of the Mirror yesterday. The ITV journalist Joe Pike confronted Boris Johnson about it. He refused over and over again. Joe Pike produced his phone to try and show Boris Johnson the picture of this little child. Boris Johnson refused to look at the photo over and over again, and then eventually takes the reporter's phone and puts it in his pocket. What the actual... I mean, where to begin? In terms of just a complete callous lack of empathy for the human consequences of the policies this man has fought for and championed, has voted, has defended, where to even begin? I think that moment just sums up this man. I think this is a clip that everyone needs to see, and I would advise everyone to look the clip up and send it to everyone you know. It sums up what we're up against. And what Boris Johnson then tried to do, this is a tactic known as the dead cat. And it's known as a dead cat because if you're in a room having a conversation about something and then suddenly someone puts a dead cat on the table, you stop talking about whatever you're talking about and go, oh my God, there's a dead cat. And the dead cat was when Boris Johnson spoke about abolishing potentially the BBC licence fee, and his advisor started talking about moving towards an American system, basically where we end up run by Fox News. Now, I'm not going to go into that because he wants us to get angry about that. It is a discussion for another day, although I have to say, well played BBC, completely slavish towards the BBC for an entire election, and there is your reward. But this is what we need to focus on, because it sums up this individual, and it sums up how the Tories look at people, human beings, and the complete inability of the Tories to face up to their own record. We've had a decade of this. A decade of this bullshit. And Boris Johnson has tried to somehow draw a line between him and that government. But it is his government. He voted for the policies. He cheerleaded the policies. He is a pillar of Tory rule. And it is so important that we link them together. The threat facing the National Health Service, the worst squeeze in its funding as a proportion of our economy since it was founded by Labour in 1948. Record A&E waiting times, mass vacancies of nurses and doctors, mass demoralisation of the health service, who are full of people desperately day in, day out, trying to look after us, tending to the sick, looking after those who need care, bringing us into the world, confronting us in our last moments, lacking basic resources in one of the wealthiest societies that has ever lived. And now an NHS, which is threatened by a trade deal where US pharmaceutical companies are circling, waiting to devour whichever chunks they can whilst driving up the price of those drugs. These are the stakes. We've got to talk about them. Because a majority for the Tories will mean Boris Johnson and his crew will be able to do exactly what they want in the next 5 years. It will be a horrendous experience because the manifesto which they have is, people keep saying it's a blank document, there's barely anything in it. Well, there's a reason for that. In 1979, Margaret Thatcher didn't go into detail about what she was going to do either. It wasn't a blank document. It was a blank check. And so we've got to face up to this, because I think this sums up, and I think there's going to be more to come, which reveals today what we're dealing with Boris Johnson and the way he treats human beings. Now, in terms of what I'm hearing, I'm just going to talk a little bit about what's happening. So an ICM poll has come out which suggests the gap has squeezed, that Labour on 36, the Tories on 42. That's a six-point lead and could, in theory, point to a hung parliament. But there's been recent polls showing a 15-point lead for the Tories. So the polls wildly disagree. So we don't know. We just have to fight. You just got to do all you can. Absolutely no guarantee whatsoever either way of what this result will be. But I'm going to say what I've been hearing a bit on the ground. So there does seem to be, and this is what some experts are telling me, a position where it's within the margin of error about whether or not there's enough seats for the Tories to get a majority of 70, very bad, or a hung parliament. And that's because a lot of seats in play, there's very few votes in which way it could go in many, many seats. So even a slight swing either direction is the difference between a hung parliament, where Boris Johnson and the Tories are out, or a whopping big majority where they can do what the hell they want. And there does seem to be a firming up of the Labour vote. But the Brexit Party in key areas outside of cities in the north, small towns, has remained quite static but not increasing. And also more evidence of Lib Dems voting tactically for Labour in Labour seats and the other way around in seats where Labour aren't competitive. That in some areas which voted Leave, like Dagenham, Rotherham, Tameside and Birmingham and Lee, a sense of a shift on the doors towards Labour. But there is a threat in certain northern towns from the Brexit Party, like Doncaster North, which is Ed Miliband's seat, by the way. Bet everything crossed for him. Rotherham. Now, at the same time, and I've heard other data, which is private data, which suggests some hopeful reasons to be cheerful, to coin a phrase, but also a poll out in Wales, which is bad, suggesting gains for the Tories there in a heartland for the Labour Party. We don't know. What we do know is that Remainers have come back to Labour in quite a big way. They realise what the stakes are. But it is Leavers who remain the big obstacle. And Labour has to focus there on the NHS, the cost of living. Do you trust Boris Johnson? Do you trust Donald Trump with your NHS? You know, Boris Johnson, you know, would you trust him to cat sit, let alone be in charge of your destiny for 5 years and being able to do exactly what he wants in that time? And also those hopeful ideas of, you know, look at what happened to your communities in the 80s under Thatcherism. And actually, if we actually, as a country, invest with the huge wealth we've got in those areas, so that we can education, health, housing for you, for your kids, everything from buses to trains, infrastructure, skilled jobs. That's what Labour has to fight for. And it has to have a very focused message. But those are the big challenges remaining. Now, we can all obsess over polls, looking over them, as I do, and I yo-yo around. Oh, it's all a disaster, too. Ooh, maybe this can be done. And it's a waste of time, other than tormenting myself. All we can do is fight and campaign. And there are places, I'm told, for example, in London, like Putney and Hendon, where Labour feel it could be in play. The Tories won last time. Obviously also seats that Labour fear losing to the Tories in the north and even and also the Midlands. We just don't know. But everyone has to just do their bit now, because we are now in the very last lap. And this is when a lot of people make up their minds. This is when minds are concentrated and the stakes are very clear. So my suggestion is, if you can, knock on doors. Take polling day off if you can to get the vote out. Share on social media everything you can, particularly to people, your friends, people who haven't seen it. Text, WhatsApp them, ring your friends, make sure they're voting, particularly if you're younger, because youth turnout is the big, big unknown. It is the battle of our lives. It is a battle, to coin a phrase, for the soul of the country. And I am personally exhausted. It's been a long few weeks. In what is now your last night, I was in Putney. I'm in Hastings tonight. And tomorrow, I'm in Watford, where again,
there's a sense of Labour might be able to, if they campaign and fight enough, achieve something special there. But it is all up to all of us. Time is running out, and I hope that we all, whatever happens, think to ourselves, we all did what we could. We did everything we could. Right. Lots of love, and I will speak to you tomorrow. Bye.
Election Daily is produced by the Cheerful team, including Jeff Lloyd, Emma Corsham, Joe Kenyon, and Joel Pearce, with music from Pete Frazier.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.